Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
I wanted to make history. I wanted to do something no other Congress has done. That we would literally turn the ship. That for the first time in quite some time, we'd spend less than we spent the year before. Tonight, we all made history. Because this is the biggest cut and savings this Congress has ever voted for. And it's not that we're just voting for it. This is going to be law.
Wow. So that's Kevin McCarthy yesterday. That last night, actually, talking about the passage of the debt ceiling. Lorraine has a piece up for you subscribers over at Chapter and Verse, which you can check out. Because it's, as I said yesterday, I'm having a little bit of a tough time calling this a major savings or a major clawback, because it's really just a drop of spending for, to kind of, well, getting close to somewhat kind of pre-pandemic levels. It's like you don't have a lockdown and a worldwide pandemic and then, you know, spend all of this, you know, money. And then when you stop spending all of the money, to put it in the layman's terms possible, then say, look at the savings. It's not really how that works. Welcome to the program. First hour here this Thursday, your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, with you, as always. You can listen coast to coast on a station terrestrially near you. You can also stream the radio program. And you can also watch the simulcast of the radio program. You can watch this on YouTube, where there's always good discussion, Facebook, and Channel 347 DirecTV. So the debt ceiling has passed. The Senate slated to take a peeky peek today. I think it's, I mean, I sent some stuff out. They passed the, that's called the Fiscal Responsibility Act. God love it. Really, it's called that. Precious. The Senate, as I was saying, is expected to look at this as well. Although, I mean, obviously they have to. There's already been some movement. Rand Paul's come out. I had this in your headlines that I sent out, your radio prep. Rand Paul's been out. And I know that there's been a couple of things in this. And I'm pulling up some of my notes here, so forgive me. By the way, can I just say how badly I hate Substack's new backend? I hate it to death, and I want to take it and put a boot on its neck and then twist is what I want to do. I hate it so bad. It's such garbage. Fix your damn backend, you POS. All right, so I can't stand it. I hate it. It's like impossible to navigate. Anyway, so you have the Senate that's going to be looking at this. They're going to be taking a peek, and it's going to pass in the Senate. I mean, that's just all there's to it. It's going to pass in the Senate. This is, you know, it's kind of a done deal at this point, as infuriating as it is. It's a done deal. So the broad partisan support, that's what was used. You know that there were more Democrats that voted for this than there were Republicans, which I told you was probably going to happen anyway, because Kevin McCarthy had more to play with. And you knew that if, you couldn't, if Hakeem Jeffries couldn't get to 60, then it was going to be, you know, a big deal on his end. I mean, you could have, as I was saying, Kevin McCarthy could lose the entirety of the House Freedom Caucus, and it was still going to be, I mean, he's still going to have room to move. You had, what, I think 53 members of the Freedom Caucus. So if McCarthy, if he lost all of them, he would still have 160. We went over this math yesterday because there are 220 Republicans in the House. And then of the Democrats, you have 215. So it's a slim majority. And that's, I'm curious, do this, Jeffries had to do a lot of pushing from what I heard on the floor. And yes, and this is what McCarthy's camp had also had predicted. So we've got McConnell. He spoke about this, last night, said that they're going to be looking at, going over some debatable aspects of this bill. One of those being there's all this discussion about the pipelines and if Joe Manchin's going to get what he wants from the pipelines for Virginia, et cetera, et cetera. The Greenies are mad at him. That's like an ongoing thing with the both of those with those two factions. But we're going to be back in this position this time next year. So that's May, June. That's like right going towards the tail end of election season. You're going into the primaries at that point. You're going to be walking away with the party nominees, and that's just a very difficult position for Republicans to be in. And if they're so scared about narratives, I mean, I will say that again, just to recap, and I mentioned this yesterday, the negotiation about raising the debt ceiling, it wasn't a negotiation over the budget items that were already passed. It was a negotiation on the debt ceiling because the items that they were discussing for spending were already passed. This was the mechanism to fund them. And so there's a limit in what you can cut and what you can't cut, but it all comes down to the funding. That's why the RAINS Act was so incredibly important, because Massey, in talking about the RAINS Act, I mean, this was, you're talking about the funding for these agencies that are engaging in this regulatory abuse. So it wasn't the best. Can I be honest? I mean, I have some very dear Republican friends of mine who are like, oh, I think this is the best that McCarthy could have done. I think this is a real win for him. And I don't know how they're getting that. I don't understand that. I've been, God love them, I'm trying really hard to understand that. I'm not getting it. We're going to come back to this because I have a million other things to hit today. In addition to all the things with the debt ceiling, can I tell you my favorite story right now today? You ready for this one?
Please do.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I need, before, just so we can all be safe, please make sure you're driving safely. And if you are sitting at work, you know, just like kind of, you know, do a little prairie dogging around you. Make sure, you know, because you're going to howl. Make sure you're holding on to something or you're sitting, you know, just FYI. So here's the story. The Washington Free Beacon. So you guys know how Hunter Biden's under, you know, investigation has been since 2018. And that's just for the financial aspects. He's also apparently being looked at to determine whether or not he lied on that ATF form. Remember that 4473, that's the number of the form. That's what it's called, shorthand. The form that you fill out when you go buy a gun, right? Because remember, when he went and bought a gun, that was right at peak crack. And we know this how? Well, a couple of ways. Yeah, he told us, number one, in his book. He was like, yeah, I was on crack. I mean, he just went out and confessed to a bunch of crimes in his book. At the exact same time in his book he was writing that he was on crack, that's when he was filling out that form, literally. And then all the imagery from his laptop, the data, that was from the exact same time. But wait, there's more. His lawyers have admitted it. I'm not even joking you. Here's the headline. Hunter, oh my gosh, can't believe I'm saying this. Hunter Biden plans to claim Second Amendment right to bear arms while on crack. What? Hands to sky, I am being completely serious. Lawyers for Hunter Biden, this is from Politico and Free Beacon, told the Justice Department that they're going to use the Second Amendment as defense for his purchase if he is charged, arguing that the prohibition on gun purchases for drug users is unconstitutional. The appellate panel, there's this case that's going before. This is a capital L libertarian issue. There's been this case that's been going before the courts. It's what Range versus Attorney General, and it's about felons possessing guns, and it gets into people on drugs possessing guns and all of this. And that's like something that's been going along on for a long time. Now they're trying to embrace it. He is, I mean, his lawyers say that's what they're going to argue if he's charged. I am literally made of questions right now. So this whole dispute, Joe Biden just tweeted yesterday. He just tweeted yesterday that we need to pass a ban on high capacity magazines and assault weapons. He literally tweeted that, not himself, because he probably doesn't even, you've seen him. Hi, he falls up and down all around stairs. So the prosecutors, they're apparently going to finalize this investigation soon. David Weiss, the U.S. attorney via Politico for Delaware, who was appointed by former President Trump, is leading the probe. A.G. Garland said in May that Weiss is capable of making decisions he feels are appropriate. He's not going to face political pressure. We don't believe that. This happens. This all centers around the purchase of a handgun in October of 2018. That's the handgun, by the way, that his sister-in-law slash lover disposed of in a trash can, legit, straight the heck across the street from a school. He literally wrote in his book. He wrote in his book, guys, his memoir, quote, "I was smoking crack every 15 minutes, end quote.
How do you survive that?
I don't know. He's got like some Keith Richards DNA or something. I don't know. And that literally at the exact same time is when he filled out that form, and it always asks whether you're an unlawful user or addicted to any controlled substance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He was cracked out of his head. And this is a part of the Gun Control Act. That's been, you know, the form since 1968. So they're actually going to invoke this. They're going to say that, oh no, that's an infringement on his Second Amendment rights, you know, saying that he can't smoke the crack. That's going to be an infringement. You can't make this up. This is craziness. And so this is what he's doing, though. I mean, here's the kicker. Now, I know I hate asking this because this is not whataboutism. I hate that phrase that people throw out whenever they don't feel like staging a defense of their viewpoints. And they try to say, oh, my gosh, you caught me in a grotesque state of hypocrisy. Therefore, I'm going to scream whataboutism. But it's literally calling out your total hypocrisy, your double standard, which undermines the strength of your position. That's the whole thing. But can you imagine, just imagine, that there was a Republican in the White House? Imagine, if you will, just imagine the former president. Let's pretend that Eric Trump was on crack and went out and bought a gun while on crack and then wrote a book about how he smoked crack every 15 minutes. And then he bought a gun at the exact same time. He was saying that he smoke crack. You saw what people tried to do. They literally made up stories. They literally grabbed stories out of the ether, made them up, got a spy warrant. Can you imagine what would happen in this case? Go ahead and say it, Kane. Kane's over there. He's over there petting his beard.
You think that,
and then writing very satisfied with a satisfied look on his face on
you're
Slack.
Not accurately painting pictures with words.
It's true, though.
But no, I think basically every 15 seconds the news would come out with a story about one of the Trumps. Every 15, if he was smoking crack every 15 minutes, mm-hmm. every 15 seconds the news would be talking
so
about.
So here's my thought. I think every Democrat candidate should be asked if they back Hunter Biden's move here. They should ask Joe Biden, and I can craft the questions. I don't mind. Some reporters should ask. They should ask this because the 4473 is in the Gun Control Act. So does that make parts of this? Does that it render irrelevant parts of that law? I mean, they could say, Mr. President, your son's legal team claims that 4473 infringes on his Second Amendment rights and makes irrelevant his crack use while purchasing and carrying. Do you agree with us? Is anyone going to ask him this? Any real report? No, you know what they're doing? They're talking about the way Ron DeSantis pronounces his own name. We're going to talk about that coming up because I hate these rat bastards. They get mad when I say that. Seethe harder. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke problem. Propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
It turns out elections have consequences. Is the debt ceiling actually a farce? What sacrifices did each side give up in their agreement? What did Republicans actually agree upon with their slim majority? Are they making America great again or making America solvent again? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the penny, which apparently we, the United States, mints at a cost of 2.72 pennies each, was it actually survived the debt limit fight. And apparently it costs more than 5 cents to mint a nickel. Did you know that? We spend 6 cents on the raw material and about 2 cents turning it into a nickel, and then it's 5 cents. What? But at the same time, I feel like, you know what? I'd rather do that than the digital currency. See, I feel like they're trying to trick you. Don't get tricked. Just saying. Am I that suspicious? I am. Okay. Also, let's see. Suspected Chinese spies disguised as tourists attempted to infiltrate an Alaskan military base. Bases, I should say. USA Today has the story. They said Chinese citizens in Anchorage posing as tourists but suspected of being spies made several attempts in recent years to gain access to military facilities in a state studded with military sensitive bases, according to U.S. officials. In one incident, a vehicle with Chinese citizens blew past the security checkpoint at Fort Wainwright in Fairbanks. That was according to several soldiers. The vehicle was stopped. They did search and they found a drone inside. And they said they were just tourists who got lost. Apparently, this happens quite a bit. What? They said that they seem to be probes to learn about U.S. military capabilities in Alaska. Okay, I've got issues and questions. U.S. mood remains glum, 18% satisfied with state of the nation. I'm surprised it's that high. Finally, Republicans are spending a lot of dollars to turn around deeply flawed turnout operations. This is what they've been needing to do since Romney, if I'm being honest. And millennials are moving more to the right, according to a new New York Times poll. Interesting. Stick with us. More to come. I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arnn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Why not take any questions from voters, Governor? Governor, how come you're not taking questions from voters?
Not coming up to me, talking to me. What are you talking about? I'm not here with people. Are you blind?
What?
Are you blind?
I'm not blind.
Okay, so people are coming up to me, talking to me, whatever they want to talk to me about.
Oh my gosh! So this is like one of the top stories today. DeSantis is so mean. He lashed out. DeSantis lashes out at reporter. He lashed out at reporter. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Lashed out. bottom of this first hour. That's what they, that's what they're saying. Jonathan Allen over at New York Times and NBC, quote, after declining to take audience questions after his first New Hampshire campaign event today, Ron DeSantis lashed out at a reporter for asking him about it while he was sharing with, chatting with members of the crowd. Then there was the other one who said, well, you heard the question. The guy was like, why aren't you talking to voters? He asked him that while DeSantis was literally standing in a crowd of voters, talking to voters, answering questions from voters. And this is, they're freaking out. They have no idea what to do with this dude. They have no idea what to do with him. So this is what we got. There, if you look as to the today's scandals, the one of the places that sometimes I look at is, I hate this website, Memorandum. Although sometimes they have conservative stuff up there, but it's really all of the stories that the leftist press wants to push. And then all of the links under each main story amplifying it. That's really what it is a measure of. And if you looked at Memorandum, you would have no idea that anything else is happening in the country. They're like, oh, distrust inside of Trump legal team and all of that. And then there's Jeffries and McCarthy cut a side deal. And then it's DeSantis. They're mad at him. They're absolutely mad at him. So they, the one piece from, you have this reporter who is saying, why aren't you taking questions from voters? That's why DeSantis asks him, are you blind? I mean, who is he standing with? Well, those are voters. Okay, who am I talking to?
Voters.
Who's asking me questions right now?
Voters.
Yeah. Huh? This is what Axios has. This is their big story. You guys ready? Prepare for this one. DeSantis or DeSantis? His team won't say. Dun, dun, dun. But here's what is weird, though. This was Trump's narrative from like yesterday. And now it's the media's narrative. I got questions. So Axios says, they go, quote, some candidates struggle to nail their message. Ron DeSantis struggles to nail his caps lock name. In videos and interviews, the governor has gone back and forth between DeSantis and DeSantis. Oh, this is much shock. Ooh, I'm so shook-er-in. Oh, man. This is so... And then they have, like, here are the examples. Here's the video. This is such a quandary. They called it a quandary. Wow. Not kidding you. Wow. It's a, this is a whole thing. And then they literally called some dude in Italy. I'm not even making... I just... And then they asked Bill de Blasio, too, about different pronunciations. So what about the duh pronunciation today pronunciation? I mean, they... It turned into the Zapruder film of pronunciations. That's where we are. It's the Zapruder film of pronunciations. Meanwhile, you have the legal team for the president's son admitting he was high on crack when buying and carrying his gun at the same time that he was negotiating away energy security for the United States by cozying up to the CCP CEFC, netting millions for his family. But Day or DeSantis? Or D. Oh, that's the big pressing story. You know, we just had hearings, what, the second in 50, 60 years on UFOs last month? Yesterday, NASA had this big thing where they said that there's these metallic orbs that we've seen all over the world. Do you want to know why we don't know anything more about any of that potentially extraterrestrial or not stuff? Is because no alien is going to look down on this sad, forsaken rock and see all these people going bananas and think, I'd like to make myself known. I'd like to go there. I wouldn't. I'd like my damn alien spaceship door and zoom the hell right on through a wormhole into a different part of the whatever the hell it is out there. Go somewhere else, far away, deep space. Jeez. I mean, this is just, I feel like I'm watching Zoolander politics. Yeah. It's really what it feels like.
Well, it's not funny.
No, it's not. I can't believe that is their big thing. That's their big story. But what gets me is, did they come up with it? Or did, because the Trump campaign literally put out a statement yesterday saying, quote, have you heard that Rob DeSanctimonious wants to change his name again? He is demanding that people call him DeSantis rather than DeSantis. Actually, I like Duh better. A nicer flow. So I am happy he is changing it. He gets very upset when people, including reporters, don't pronounce it correctly. Therefore, he shouldn't mind. DeSanctimonious? And that's literally a statement from the president, the former president, on his campaign stuff. It was literally an actual press release. I'm not making this up. I want to burn everything down. Can we just do that? Can we just do that? Can I say something that's probably going to hurt some feelings?
Of course.
Hmm?
Sure.
If there is someone out there that thinks that that press release was smart to put out, I have to ask how many times they were dropped on their head as an infant. Because that's insane. That's a fair question. Fair question you'd ask. I mean, why? And now you have Axios going, well, that sounds like I'm going to go run with that. Meanwhile, nothing on Hunter Biden. Can you imagine if Trump said one thing on Hunter Biden? He hasn't said a damn thing about it. Can you imagine if he said, oh, what, now he wants to? Now he wants to claim Second Amendment for crack usage? What? Can you imagine? It would put the focus on that. But that's not what he's doing. He's going, dear, whoa, my last name is pronounced with a vowel that is not in it.
Sure.
No one knows how to pronounce my name because my own family will not pronounce it the way it's supposed to be. I mean, if anyone has some gripes about this stuff, it's me. Everyone's like, last name's Lash. You have an O and an E in your name, ma'am. Uh-huh, I know. Don't ask, man. It's not actually Lash, but that's what we say. And then my husband's like he gets very particular about it. Like, don't mispronounce nobody's name, especially kids at graduation. Don't do it. So, I don't know why this is the big story. Oh, I do, because it's the media, and this is what they do. But as a response to this, where are the reporters? If there was a single reporter that was worth their salt, why aren't they asking, hey, if Hunter says, the 4473 is an infringement, does this mean that, is it calling into question the legitimacy of the Gun Control Act in whole or in part? It seems like that's a fair question, right? That's a fair question. If only, Kane, there were people who wrote about government and they published it and stuff.
Right.
Like a place where you could go to read it, what they wrote. And if only there was like a way they could ask questions of the administration.
Man.
It'd be amazing.
If only,
man. I mean, we should invent that.
Right.
Golly. Any reporter worth a byline would be asking this. They would be asking what you should be asking whether or not Hunter should be able to purchase and carry a firearm while on crack. They should be asking that. I mean, and his lawyers admit it. They admit it. I mean, Gavin Newsom. Why is nobody asking Gavin Newsom? He backed Biden. Does he also back Hunter Biden invoking his Second Amendment rights to protect his purchase and possession while using crack? Every gun control Democrat on the ballot should be asked this question. And don't let the people on the left move the goalposts on this either. The specific issue here is a party that wants to ban everything and demand special privileges for their 50-something deadbeat dependent. They want the issue to focus singularly on drugs and carry to get the heat off Hunter. So do not let them move the goalpost. Good. And then I have some cow named Kate in my comments. No recent former president's children are exemplary. Shut up and make me a sandwich, Karen. No one asked you. Jeez. I was going to say something really mean about how I don't go to her job, Kanan. Yeah. I'm familiar. You're familiar with that saying?
Yeah.
Don't Google it, guys.
Yeah.
I just, this is where the press should be asking this question. Reporters should be asking this question. I'd make Peter Ducey a sandwich if he asked this question. Yeah. That's how badly this question needs asked. Now, speaking of 2024, guys, I know you're super excited. Mike Pence, he's going to apparently announce on June 7th. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Said nobody. Oh, you guys aren't excited about that? Kane, I don't sense any zeal or excitement.
Can't find any.
Whole generation's been waiting for this moment forever. Went through all of space and time to find this candidacy.
Really?
No, nobody said that at all. Nobody feels that. Nobody said it. It's not non-existent. It's like some of these people, are they high? Are they really sitting around going, it feels like the public wants me? No, we don't. Stay in your living room. Nobody wants you. Now, a couple of other things. This, I have some wokery I want to get into. I also have still more media malpractice that we're going to hit as well. And we have some seriously interesting 2A stories to touch on. Now, in the meantime, we were talking about the Bidens, shifting ever so slightly. There's not enough eye bleach in the world for this. Nearly 10,000 photos from Hunter Biden's laptop hit the web. 10,000. 10,000. And they said that, well, you can only imagine what type they are. They said that, so it's Biden laptop media. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to warn you. There are things you cannot unsee, okay? Like if your grandparents were having romantical times. There are certain things that you can't unsee. Naked Hunter Biden. Certain things you can't unsee. I thought of the funniest thing ever, and I can't say it on air. Definitely going to say it on break, though. No, you know what? I'm going to say it right now, but I'm going to... No, hang on. Guys, give me just like 5 seconds. Or not even that. Give me 5 seconds. Because if you've gone to the website, there's the unredacted stuff there. And I'm just saying, do you know what a baby... What is a baby eagle called? And they got the... Eaglets, right? Yeah. Okay, so... It's just crazy.
Could they read your lips on TV?
I don't think so. I was trying to hide it. Anyway... There's things that because you'll be scrolling and then all of a sudden it's right there. And there's like no warning. You're just like, oh my gosh, I just wanted to find out if this is newsworthy. So slow claps for those people, like genuine applause for those people who actually have to go through this. They're going to need therapy. Anyway, Biden laptop media, they have what, 10,000 photos from 08 to 2019. It took months to complete. And they've gone through, like, there's like a lot of stuff up there, but they had to redact the bits, the copulatory organs, if you will, on every photo. And they said it took a lot of time. Okay, we got to move because I don't know. Oh, and by the way, he also has some screenshots of Candy Crush games in there. So if you ever wanted to convince someone to stop playing that game, you just tell them that, right?
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
A few months ago, I called to speak to my national security advisor. He was out here, but I was told he was unavailable. Turns out, first Andrew Deaver had him out doing loops and barrel rolls on a glider. I asked if I could do that today, and the Secret Service said, no, we'll have to shoot it down.
What? That's the Secret Service said?
I don't know about that. That's...
What is he doing?
I don't know. That's Joe Biden, the president. He's at the Naval Academy today.
Oh.
And,
It's painful.
When is the last time that I saw him? have an actual press conference. I was thinking about this morning. I don't actually remember. Just him talking to the press, whether he's sitting or he's at a podium, and it's an official, actual press conference. Long time. Not just him making statements. Him actually taking questions from the press. I don't recall. I actually don't recall. That's something, isn't it?
It is.
Dang. So maybe they could at least ask KJP about the Hunter Biden thing. With the, you know.
We'll get an answer.
Yeah. All right, so coming up, media malpractice. We have some wokery. Pentagon canceled a drag show at the Air Force Base. I'm already done with Rainbow Month. We're going to talk about all this. We got a lot to hit. Now PetSmart's in the crosshairs. Stick with us.
You know, there's nothing conservative about the Biden-McCarthy plan. It allows unlimited borrowing for 2 years beyond the next presidential election. They can spend as much money as they can possibly spend, borrow as much money as they want. No limits on borrowing for 2 years. Nothing conservative about that.
No, he's right. Nothing conservative about that at all. As Rand Paul and the Senate is dealing with this now, apparently they're going to be voting on this soon. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour this Thursday. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast terrestrially. You can also stream the radio program, and you can watch the simulcast of the program on YouTube, Facebook, and Channel 347, DirecTV. Sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse, over at Substack. All kinds of stuff sent out daily. Now, one of the accusations that was that Democrats engaged in, they cut a controversial side deal with Republicans on this in order to save it. But they said that four Democrat lawmakers had said they told Axios, which I don't know if I believe or not. They're the ones who were all mad over how DeSantis pronounces his name. They said four Democrat lawmakers said they were told of a deal, too, saying that they believed it involved boosting federal funding for projects in Democrat districts, their earmarks. They said that McCarthy and Hakeem Jeffries both just shot those rumors down, saying there wasn't a side deal on that. But it ultimately, I mean, the bill passed 314-117. And that means that there were some House Freedom Caucus that supported it. It doesn't look like the entirety of the House Freedom Caucus was against it if it's 117. Aren't there 152 members of that?
52.
Oh, 52. Okay, well, then maybe they entirely didn't. Maybe they did stay in unison. The thing is that McCarthy kind of had the... Yes, you're right. I'm looking at my notes. It's 50. There's 53 self-identified members, essentially, of the Freedom Caucus. So, I mean, technically, because it looks like you had to, it looks like Hakeem Jeffries had to deliver 52 Democrats to provide, to offset that.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, regardless, McCarthy was going to have the votes to do it. So we'll see how this plays out in the Senate with all of this. In the meantime, number of other things. We've been discussing the media malpractice, and we've been discussing some wokery as well. And I have a couple of things. I don't even know which way I want to go. I have a number of some woke headlines for you. First up, so we have all heard the LA Dodgers. They've been, what is the name of this? I'm looking at the name of the group. It's the trans nun group.
Sisters.
Yes, yeah, something like that. Well, they're not actual nuns. It's like drag nuns. I don't even know. I mean, they mock Christians. I mean, they, in some of their performances, they put somebody dressed up as Jesus on a cross and they do all this stuff.
They're called
the
Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Okay, there you go. And they've been, at first, I don't think that they were going to be included in some special baseball night. And then the Dodgers came back and said, oh, yes, we're going to do it. You know, we want to make sure that we're inclusive. And so then it does sound, Steve asked what kind of music they make. I mean, honestly, it sounds like an offshoot of, you know, Sisters of Mercy, if I'm being honest. But they had two Dodgers players that have spoken out. So the relief pitcher, Blake Treinen, spoke out against the team's decision to invite the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which is the transgender drag queen nun performance group. Gosh, what a mouthful there. And they, so this relief pitcher came out and said that, you know, his choice to honor this group on June 16th, because it's apparently what you know, they're doing. He said that, you know, he was a Christian, and he said that, you know, it was it mocks, you know, the faith. And he had a very nice, I mean, he's being very statement of fact about it. And Clayton Kershaw was the other one, the other Dodgers player who came out and said that he didn't agree with making fun of other people's religions. At Washington Nationals, pitcher Trevor Williams also denounced it. And they were, it was the Pride, it's the Pride Night festivities that they're having apparently June 16th, and they were excluded. And then they had a tantrum, a public tantrum, and then the Dodgers invited them back. And I don't know, again, I don't know if you've seen there, I've seen videos of the stuff that they've done. They literally had one of their performers up on a cross, like Jesus, naked. And it's rough, man. It's rough stuff. There's no other religion that they mock like that. Maybe it's because Christians don't go cutting people's heads off. I don't know. Yeah, that's probably part of it. But I'm so tired. You know, if I'm so tired of people mocking Christianity. You are a crap artist if that's all you have. Do you know how long people have been doing it? It's so cliched. It's such, it's just basic. It is so, it is basic bitch to do it. It really is. It doesn't require any imagination. It's been so done over and over again. It's not even controversial anymore. People just roll their eyes. But I feel like, you know, I mean, this group, they were excluded not because people were discriminating against trans or whatever. It's because of the stuff that they do. They trying to purposefully be offensive. Any animal can be offensive. Any animal can be shocking. It requires a little bit more creativity and artistic endeavor to rise to more than that. And they just, they think that just trying to insult people is an art form. Unless you're George Carlin, it's not. And so they brought them back and they're going to have their thing. Did you know that, what is it? The luggage twink? What's his face? Sam Brenton. Yeah. The dude who stole them ladies' luggages, luggage. He, wasn't he part of this, one of the groups like this in D.C. or something like that? I mean, it's one thing to have like adult drag queen stuff. It's another thing to have drag queens at a pride thing where they do that kind of performative, purposeful offense. I mean, it's just trashy. It's not even, it's not cool. It's not artistic. It's not edgy. It's just trashy. Yeah, I mean, you have a bunch of dudes in thongs with their hairy butts up there acting like what? Trying to recreate the passion in the most offensive way possible for the love. I'm just so tired of this stuff. Then you had some of this. I loved this exchange. This one chick, what's her name? She's a reporter with USA Today, Lindsay Schnell. And she said, she got really mad. She goes, every time I hear someone say, she quoted this person, every time I hear someone say trans women competing in sports is fair, I think of these words, you know, is LeBron fair? Is sports? It's sports. Nothing's fair.
What? It's literally all fair.
So I love, one of the people I follow said, yes, amen. Let's eliminate the WNBA and other women's leagues and make them compete with men for a spot in a single league. No quotas or affirmative action. Pure competition.
What
deal?
What you want.
Yeah, let's have Brittany Griner go up and compete against LeBron. Let's see how well that works.
Both men.
I mean, what in the world? It's not fair. Yeah, okay, well then stop having, if you don't think it's fair, then stop having different leagues then. And let's just see how it's, as Steve's right, it's about it's literally about competition. Good heavens. It's just also asinine. Then you had this one story. Oh, this made me so mad. This is in California. So it was a track and field, California High School prelims for track and field event. And this story, it started out with these male athletes who identify as female. They wanted to run in some of the races, the 1600 meter heat. So that's the mile. They wanted to run in the mile, which is, you know, that's a tough race. I was varsity long distance in track and field when I was in high school. And they had men who were identifying as women who were running in California State and track. They were going to compete in California State and track field championships. And then You had one of them who beat out an 18-year-old female. Another one beat out both of these are boys. They qualified for state, and then they qualified to compete in the prelims, and then they didn't go. They had displaced two female athletes. The boys' names are Athena Ryan and Lorelai Barrett. And they're boys. I'll call them by whatever name they have legally, but they're boys because I don't pretend that science doesn't exist. And men don't control my speech. They're boys. And so the controversy, not only did they displace the female athletes for those positions and for the shot at prelims, but then they didn't show up. And then when they were criticized for not showing up, they said that, oh, well, it was because of the criticism and harassing behavior. That's why they didn't show up. So women speaking out against men intruding in women's sports is now considered abusive and harassing. They had the organization CIF, California Interscholastic Federation, that's the governing body for high school sports in California. They told the LA Times that they denounced discriminatory or harassing behaviors that impact student athletes' opportunities to participate in interscholastic competitions. There was debate over whether or not boys could actually compete with girls in track and field. And they were mad that the debate was happening. And because the debate was happening, they decided to say everything was harassment and discrimination. It's not harassment discrimination that they displaced two female athletes because they wanted to cosplay as their sex, but it's apparently harassment and discrimination if women, with all the female empowerment and everything that that the second wave feminists said we were going to have taken by third wave, but you can't now. You can't criticize the men who cosplay as women who want to compete in women's sports. And then they went and complained to the LA Times about it. So it's more emotionally abusive. So women who feel uncomfortable or who criticize, if they bring it up, then they're further abused and told that they're discriminatory and that they're harassing the male. That's abusive. You're teaching women that they can't speak out. All right. So coming up, TSA screenings apparently are going to, this is something that I saw pop around on social media. So apparently, according to some of the reports, they're talking about TSA and whether or not they're going to include men who identify as women being assigned to do pat downs of females. That's going to That's going to be the new thing, dude. Okay. Yeah, I'll be in jail.
And now all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a couple here. First up, this is interesting. Activists have apparently launched Jews Against Soros to oppose the mega donors' radical left-wing influence. Prominent conservatives who are Jewish reject the notion. This is what the leftists have been saying. They're like, you can't criticize Soros because that means you're anti-Semitic, which is exactly like saying you can't criticize me because then you're anti-woman. They're trying to hide behind that as a way to not have to actually answer for all of the stuff that he's been spending his money on. So a group of activists are actually forming organized opposition to this. So that's going to be a very interesting development. I hate when people do this stuff. Tommy Tuberville's musician brother, who literally nobody knows. Who is this guy?
I don't know.
The brother of the senator is speaking out on social media. Charles Tuberville. This guy, like, no one asked. No one cared. But yet he's all like, oh, I gotta, due to recent statements by him promoting racial stereotypes. He's basically like, my brother disagrees with me politically, so that must mean he's a racist. That's basically what he was saying. So this guy is doing everything he can to siphon off his brother's name and his brother's accomplishments to promote, I guess, his artistry. Dude, you're like a 90,000-year-old art musician. You're never going to make it. If you haven't made it already, guess what, Chucky? You ain't going to make it now. Hang it up. Jeez. I can't stand when the media does that with family members. And when family does stuff like that, that's so trashy. But they're so desperate to, like, get some for themselves. Also, let's see here. Amazon's going to pay over $30 million in FT settlements over Ring and Alexa privacy violations. Ooh, The Ring doorbell unit, $5.8 million. They're settling with the FTC over over privacy, and Amazon has to pay $25 million with a separate suit, just for Alexa. They were saying that Amazon violated the FTC Act and the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act by retaining kids' information through their profiles with the Alexa assistant. I don't have any of that. I don't have Alexa. I don't do the robots. I don't do Siri. I think I've disabled her. I don't like any of that stuff. It all freaks me out. I don't know. Let's see. A woman wins a cheese rolling race, but despite being knocked unconscious. I am a huge fan of this. I know all of. So there's this. Okay, I know all about this. I wrote this. Watched this whole documentary on this. It's Cooper Hills cheese rolling race. They have it each spring, and it's like 180. I mean, it's a huge steep wheel or steep hill, and they chase a wheel of cheese down that they produce locally. And they've had this for like over 600 years. It is like a huge thing. People come from all over the world. They have teams. They train for it. And they roll the cheese down the hill. But the hill is so steep that they fall and like basically knock their brains out of their ears all the way down the hill. It's one of the funniest and most dangerous things I've ever seen. And a woman literally fell down the damn hill and knocked herself out. But she won because she made it to the finish line before everybody else. She's a Canadian named Delaney Irving. If you get a chance, look for the... try to find a documentary on this on Netflix, because I guarantee you it's wholesome and it's non-political and it's one of the funniest things you're ever going to watch, because they are devoted to this. It's great. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Thanks to National Oceanic and Oceanic Atmosphere and Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, so-called NOAA.
NOAA. He doesn't know what it is. He really doesn't know what it is. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this second hour. He doesn't know what it is. So the wokening. I hate saying that word. Gosh, it's hot in the studio. I hate saying that word, woke. Because it's so much more than that. It's Marxist theory, but it's hard to say, well, it's Marxist critical theory and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And blah, blah, you know, it's to get into it. And then you're explaining, when you're explaining, you're losing. Woke is simple. It's one syllable. It's real easy to put in a headline. It's branding. I mean, it's smart to keep it like that. So the whole point, though, is that it's making it, I think it's been good. It's been really good in terms of waking people up, but I want to make sure that people don't get over their skis with stuff. Because I think that some things you can kind of snatch, you know, what is it? They always say, oh, snatching victory from the jaws of, or snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. You don't want to get into that position. And I want to make sure that, you know, we're just being careful. We're just being careful about stuff. You don't want to be reactionary. There's times definitely, I think, to get, you know, to actually, like with, for instance, the Target stuff. I think it's completely acceptable, obviously, to criticize some of the stuff that Target's been doing, because they're marketing stuff towards, you know, it's kid wear. And people are, some of the defense that I've heard is that, oh, well, you know, kids aren't buying the clothes, it's the parents. But parents are often with the kids, and that's why they have kids sections all colorful and designed to catch kids' eyes. So shut up, don't tell me that stuff. These are the same people who say that firearms manufacturers market to kids, but all of a sudden you're telling me that clothing manufacturers don't market to kids? Shut up. I'm so tired of this dumbass double standard. And so Target, I mean, they legit had swimsuits that were body shaming boys. The whole tucking swimsuit. That's a point that should be made more often, I think, also. Especially since, what, there was another headline about Lizzo getting mad about somebody body shaming her. Well, what about body shaming boys into thinking they've got to tuck their penises in a swimsuit? That's body shaming. Oh, but we can't talk about it like that. Because that's not how they want to talk about it like that. So it's insensitive if you don't talk about it the way that they want to talk about it. Now, we're not doing that. Target, though, has been having a hard time after all of this. They've had sales have plummeted. It's what I was looking at some of the What? How much have they lost? 13 billion shares dropped another 2.14%, the ninth consecutive day.
Their market cap is tanking.
Yeah, it's just it's not going well for them, understandably. Because they were doing stupid stuff. What do you expect was going to happen? Jiminy Christmas. And then you had, I'm going to pull this up. I got a couple of other things. My friend Sean Davis over at The Federalist made a good point, because NBC, and this is Wokery Plus Media, they had this whole story last night. They came out with the headline, quote, an LGBTQ flag was burned at an elementary school in California earlier this month ahead of a pride event, and police are investigating the incident as a hate crime. So when the left burned, as Sean noted, American flags, you were told it was free speech. Shut up, you fascist. Yep. But if you burn their rainbow flag, then it's a violent hate crime. What? Double standard. Absolute double standard. And so why is that? I mean, that is... You should be, I mean, if it's free speech, it's free speech no matter what. No one can be more protected than another group in front of the law. That's unconstitutional. And then on this, pulling up one more, you have the Glamour. I don't know if you saw this, British Glamour in Great Britain. They introduced a woman named Logan Brown, the June Pride cover star. Now, just a side note, remember how you were told trans doesn't mean you're gay and gay doesn't mean you're trans, but yet I feel like a lot of trans activists demand that the gay community white knight for them, which is why they conflate all the movements into just one whole alphabet acronym. Case in point, you have a woman who's on the cover of a magazine and she's calling herself a trans man, and trans pregnant and proud, saying a trans man who's pregnant. You're a woman. You had a breast removal. You look like a woman still. You can wear the Balberry necklace and you can have, you know, all of the other, but you're a dude. You're not a dude. You're a woman who's trying to look like a dude. And this is erasing, again, it's erasing the existence of women. On top of this, I got all kinds of stuff. You had the male, let's go here, Disneyland. A male Disneyland employee dressed as a fairy godmother's apprentice with full facial hair sparked a lot of criticism. Critics said that it is entirely inappropriate for that to happen. It was a guy who was literally had the mustache and everything else at Disneyland. And he said he's one of the fairy godmother's apprentices. And he was in drag, and he said that one of the writers who was there and it said that it takes guests out of the show and breaks the illusion. And, you know, interacting with kids. I mean, why are you even going to Disney in the first place? But there's so much here. I understand there's a lot to push back on, like with Chick-fil-A. I will say, let me pull the story up. Chick-fil-A is not helping themselves here. Golly. They said that it was misinformation. I don't really think that's misinformation. They said that they responded to a lot of the criticism over the discovery of their DEI statement. I'm trying to pull this story up for you. And they said that it was misinformation. They said that the boycott is just, it's a misinformation over their DEI stuff. And now the media is running with it. So, and I told you that Chick-fil-A is a little different from Target, which is a little different from, you know, what Kohl's did. Bud Light, which kind of started it off, that was mocking women. That's a different issue from Target advertising tuck-friendly stuff and body-shaming kids over their sex, which is different from, you know, things that motif celebrating adult sexual relationships on children's clothing at Kohl's. I don't like it when the kids are involved in it. I don't know why adults have to use that as the measure of whether or not they're legitimate. I think it's weird, and I don't like it. And it unnecessarily politicizes kids. When the world sucks enough, maybe don't drag kids into your baggage and use them as pawns. Let them be kids, because the world is bad enough and they've got plenty of time to be horrible people like all of you. Not you guys. So the Chick-fil-A thing, we had a conversation about it yesterday, and I think that it's a little bit different, but I still think it's anti-Christian to include DEI stuff in, particularly because it's based upon the godless Marxist theory. And now you have this situation with PetSmart. So let me pull this story up, and I'm going to make a lot of people very, very, very angry. PetSmart faces a boycott because they have what is a Pride dog bikini. And I'm looking at some of the description. For instance, it says it's a cat harness. There's a cat harness. It says, quote, provide your kitten with a colorful and amazing matching harness and leash, while also reaffirming your belief and unconditional love. I mean, I get it. It's probably really important for them that their dog wears a bikini, saying that they're a dude who likes to have sex with other dude parts, and advertise that as they're walking in the park. You, Kane's dying, but you know it's true. Here's where I'm going to make people mad. I think if you're putting bikinis on your animals, you're a moron, and I want to boycott you. That's dumb. I find that incredibly offensive. They have a picture of a dog in a bikini, and it's like a rainbow bikini. Now, if you want to advertise that you're a moron by putting your dog in a bikini of whatever advocacy, go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you. I'm not in charge. I'm not the elected official of an elected official of the United States. I don't get to introduce laws in Congress like jail people who put dogs in bikinis. I don't get to do that. That's why you shouldn't elect me. I would never represent anyone who would have me. Now, they also apparently donated, let me look at this. They donated some money, this is some years ago, to a K-12 educational program supporting in-school child gender transition without parental consent. Okay, now that you can go ahead and protest them for. But just for the bikini alone, because there are people out there who are like, I'm mad at the PetSmart stuff, their pride, whatever, pet things, and I don't want to, you know, I'm going to boycott them for that. I don't care if somebody, I mean, I'm not ever going to buy it. I don't care if an adult wants, I think it's dumb. I think if you put that on your dog, you're abusing your dog. And I know you can get mad at me all you want. You can send me hate mail. I'm going to print it out. And then what I'll do is I'm going to lay it all out in my driveway, and I'm going to get my purchased on Amazon mini. What is the thing that I have? Kane, the with the wheels?
Segway.
And I will drive over it back and forth while shooting an air rifle, since I'm in like a city limits and I can't. So that's what I'll do. I will do that. Don't send it to me. Or I'll take it to the range and I'll affix it to the target and I'll take it back 20 yards and I'll blow holes in it. So don't send me hate mail about it. But now donating to the gender transition program for school kids, yeah, go ahead. I don't shop at PetSmart. A lot of their stuff's made in China. So I don't, and you guys know how crazy I am about that. I don't shop there. They have too much of their junk made in China. But the Pride dog bikini, I just want to make sure that we're going about this in a smart way. If there's like an adult t-shirt that has rainbow stuff on it, I don't care what other adults do. I do to an extent, but I'm also very busy and I'm also trying to, you know, looking at a million other things. But when it starts targeting kids is when I have an issue. And I think that there is a fine line to walk when you're talking about conservatism and then you're talking about being a counter-revolutionary as well. Because counter-revolutionaries also realize that individuals, you have freedom in the United States, but when you're starting to involve other people's kids or creating persuasion programs for kids, then that becomes an entirely separate issue that does not fall into policy, that falls into propaganda, and everyone has a right to speak out and loudly proclaim that they're not going to go shop at whatever institution or whatever store, or they have every right to do that. But I think it has to be done in a smart way. Like, I'm not going to get mad if there's like rainbow sprinkles offered at an ice cream place. But now if the ice cream place is donating, like PetSmart was, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to a group advocating for the transition sans parental consent with school kids, then yeah, I'm going to have a problem with it. So I want to make sure that we're being really wise. I got a piece of hate mail. What is this? Where's this at? Steve sent it to. I'm just going to say the guy's name. Joseph Waters sent me an email saying, and if you're nice, I won't give out your contact info. If you're mean, oh, dude, I'll find everything about you and plaster it all over the internet. I will, yeah, I will do that. So he said, he goes, just exactly why is Dana advertising for Dawn? I don't even know who Dawn is. Is that the dish soap?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So he writes, just exactly why is Dana advertising for Dawn, who is promoting You Can't Cancel Pride nonsense? She says one thing on her podcast and her advertisers say the opposite on every commercial break. Won't be listening until the Alphabet Mafia ads are pulled. Sad. Another sellout? So someone needs to explain to this dumbass how advertising works. Because that's not how it works. It's pretty simple. So this must be on the podcast. I don't even know who advertises on the podcast. I don't choose the advertisers on the podcast. I don't get anything from the advertisers on the podcast. That isn't how advertising works.
And also, Dawn isn't our advertiser. It's tailoring to your algorithm, buddy. So,
oh, maybe Joseph needs to stop looking up Pride stuff. And maybe the algorithm then won't cater to him by promoting that kind of advertising to him based upon his previous search results.
Yeah.
And that is why you don't email me stupid stuff. Jiminy Christmas. Also, you know what? Even if I did make money off of it, I'd love to put it in the plate for Jesus. Just saying. Make it work against him. All right, we got to get moving. We got, you have to forgive my Portuguese, but some days are a lot.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This comes by way of Click Orlando. A naked Deltona man showed up at a Volusia County home after crashing his truck. Oh boy. 39-year-old Kevin Gardner faces charges of DUI and indecent exposure. Happened early Sunday morning. He crashed into a utility pole and then walked up to somebody's house totally naked. And according to the sheriff's department, they said that deputies found the pickup truck. It totally severed the utility pole. The driver was nowhere to be found. They found him at this home. He was seen with several injuries on his face and legs. He told deputies that the truck had been stolen. Then he changed his story several times, saying that he has seizures and doesn't remember things. And then they found that he was totally drunk as a skunk. They did a blood alcohol test and he was taken into custody. Oof. I don't know how you conceal a sword. How does that happen? So this is Coral Springs. A man, Florida man, is charged with carrying a concealed sword. I'm made of questions. They said that Coral Springs police were dispatched to Broward Health Urgent Care just a week or so ago. And they said upon arrival, they were met at the entrance by a woman, said she was a man's wife, that her husband had a sword. He had a mental illness. They approached him and then they said he proceeded to uncover to reveal a sword. He finally complied. He placed the sword on the floor and returned to his seat. It was a 2-foot bladed sword with indiscernible symbols on the bottom. So he was in Broward County Jail. Stay with us.
Secondly, the colloquy you and I had was about whether China and Russia, or either one, should be considered an evil regime. President Reagan described the Soviet Union as the locus of evil in the modern world. George W. Bush referred to an axis of evil after 9/11. If you have governments that are running concentration camps or launching unprovoked wars where hundreds of thousands of people are being killed and the President of the United States calls the leader of that regime a war criminal, I don't see what it is that prohibits you from calling a spade and saying these are evil regimes, which you refused to do in our earlier colloquy.
Well, I appreciate your advice on policy, and I'll take that back, James. But presidents never been one. The president? No.
Why don't you consider these evil regimes?
It's not a simple question, James. It's a criticism that you're posing as a question. You'd like to see us put a label on these two countries, and President Biden just doesn't conduct foreign policy that.
Okay, so first off, that's James Rosen, my friend James Rosen, asking this question of John Kirby. And Kirby completely just destroyed his own premise and his response by saying that you want us to put labels on these countries, and that's just criticism in the form of a question. His question was, why aren't you putting labels on them like you do everyone else? That literally was the question. Am I the only person that apparently doesn't have a problem with my listening comprehension? I mean, I just think if you're going to be at the podium and you're going to be in charge anywhere near defense, I don't know, maybe listen. Good heavens. Welcome back to the program. Top of the third hour. Dana Loesch here with you. And the whole, this back and forth, I mean, I thought that was a fair, I thought that was an incredibly legitimate question. But Kirby couldn't address it unless he were to walk into the rake of showcasing the ineffectiveness or impotency, rather, of Joe Biden's foreign policy and his unwillingness to deal with these geopolitical foes in a manner in which they need to be dealt and looked at. Good heavens. Okay, can we play? Let's get a... So, you know, in the Senate, they're going back and forth over the debt ceiling. Rand Paul's been pushing an alternative. This is the bill that they had voted on in the House yesterday. Lindsey Graham was angry because it didn't include some funds for some things that he wanted some funds for. This is Audio Soundbite 5.
Well, my plan is to inform the American people that this budget deal is a disaster for the United States military. I like Kevin McCarthy. He's got a hard job. But he said this bill fully funds the military. I want your audience to know tonight that this bill is $42 billion short of matching inflation. This bill creates a smaller Navy at a time when the Chinese are going from 300 ships to 440. This bill puts us on track to go from 298 ships in our Navy to 291.
And he's mad that it's not, he was on the floor of the Senate and he was saying, you know, we get less ships. And I'm like, fewer, it's fewer ships. Stop. Oh my gosh. But he's upset because we're not, what, getting more money for Ukraine? We're not getting more taxpayer dollars to fund Ukraine's offensive measures in an unconstitutional proxy war with Russia? That sounds accurate. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's exactly it.
I have some of his audio from before this morning.
Oh, yes, play this. His grammar made me die.
The Navy at a time of great conflict. Not a penny in this bill to help Ukraine defeat Putin. They're going on the offensive as I speak, and we need to send a clear message to Putin that when it comes to your invasion of Ukraine, we're going to support the Ukrainians to ensure your loss. If we don't do that, then we're going to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory.
He's just mad because we're not sending more money to Ukraine. Okay, seethe, because it's not going to happen. See, this is why I just wanted to remind you. I get that everyone is so eager, I think, to celebrate and have some sort of savior, you know, et cetera, within the conservative movement or within the Republican Party. And during the Kavanaugh stuff, that hearing and that fight, Lindsey Graham, that was one of his brightest moments. I mean, he came in clutch on that. I mean, in fact, one of his sound bites from that hearing is one of my favorite sound bites ever. He's like, these people want power, and I hope they never get it. I mean, it was impassioned. It was raw. It was angry, and it was right, and it matched the tone of a nation that was watching an innocent man be smeared in the court of public opinion, headed by progressives. But you have to look at lawmakers like this. Every lawmaker is going to do at least one thing that you like. I mean, unless they're, you know, like Joe Biden. But every lawmaker, by and large, there's going to be at one point, I'm talking about Republicans, that they're going to do something that you like. You're going to like how they stood up for this issue, or you're going to like how they stood up for this nominee during this hearing. But you need to realize this doesn't mean, and not you all, but some people out there need to realize it doesn't mean that these people are perfect in their totality. You have to look at everything that they've done. Like Lindsey Graham got a lot of criticism before all the Kavanaugh stuff kind of redeemed him a little bit and introduced him to people who were unfamiliar with him prior, who were just getting into politics. They forgot how he was fighting for amnesty prior. And he had. I mean, he likes getting in conflict. He likes military spending. I like military spending. I think it's one of the only constitutional things we're obligated to do. But it's not a sacred cow. That doesn't mean you get to spend unwisely. and especially not without cutting some of the wasteful spending elsewhere. So you, I think you have to take all of this in total. I remember there for a while, some people were saying, oh, Lindsey Graham should run for president. And I'm like, oh my gosh, wait till they make themselves acquainted with his record on amnesty. Oh my gosh. But he was great in the Kavanaugh moment. He's wrong here. More spent. We don't even have an, we have no accountability on the money that's being sent to Ukraine. And I think one of the reasons why it's dragged on this long is because the West fuels it with attention and money. Now, if you say anything like that, if you say what I just said, what the left does, in absence of like an actual articulate challenge to your viewpoint, they just say, oh, well, you're just, that sounds like a Russia talking point. No, you can simultaneously hate Putin and think that they are commies pretending not to be commies, while also simultaneously acknowledging that this probably would have wound down a lot earlier had the West not gotten in and fueled it. There are people who make a lot of money off of a never-ending proxy war. They are serious about communist enough to engage in a proxy war, but not serious enough to finish it, dragging it on for generations. And now we're seeing it with the culture wars. That's ultimately what it is. Culture war. It gets into that. I saw this. I wanted to run. Get with this story. This is a 2A issue. So don't laugh at me. I've played Minecraft. Okay. They got Mojang, which is a Swedish company. They were purchased by Microsoft a few years ago. Well, now it came out. Minecraft is where it's actually, if you've known, it's actually pretty cool. You can, there's like, they have all different kinds of servers. They have different mods for it. You know, there's a lot of really cool stuff. And you can actually learn a lot about geology, believe it or not, from Minecraft. It's a fun open world game. When we homeschooled, like it was super useful. I mean, it's popular for a reason. And you've had these different Minecraft servers exist for, gosh, decades, I think, since the beginning of the game. So now Mojang is reportedly banning guns on Minecraft servers. And not just really guns. I mean, it's like all weaponry. Axes, bows, crossbows, swords. Swords? It's not banning the weapons. I was reading it was banning all the weapons. It was including a lot. They mentioned the weaponry. But they're banning guns, which you can like mod out and you can, you know, put a gun in, you know, one of your games. And there's one server. Let me pull this up. It's Grand Theft Minecraft, GTM Group. So Minecraft's enforcement team targeted their use of firearms and other weapons. And they said that they contacted the server's owners, told them that their firearms in that shown were in violation of Mojang's brand and commercial guidelines, as well as all of the game's restrictions and regulations. But hasn't the server been up for like a decade before they ever came and said anything to them? It was up for like a while. So they sent this out. They said, I mean, it's a long thing. They said, our team came across the following items, which are not compliant: gun and firearms. All servers, entitlements, and advertising are suitable for children, blah, blah, blah. All references to guns and firearms are not compliant. Such instances must be removed in order to reach compliance. And so Grand Theft Minecraft wrote back and they said, it's incredibly unfair that Mojang can wipe off servers that have been up and running for decades, sometimes on a whimsical recent directive. Gun servers have been allowed to operate under the EULA for years, and now to suddenly reinterpret it is straight on tyrannical. They said they worded it more nicely in their reply. They added that their reinterpretation will harm hundreds of communities and millions of players that make them up. They said Minecraft itself has bombs in it. It does. It has TNT, gunpowder, suicide bombers, which are the creepers, crossbows, which a lot of jurisdictions, and they are correct, consider to be technically a firearm. This is something that differs state by state, locality by locality. That's a separate issue. Swords, etc. They said both Mojang indoor servers and Mojang indoor DLCs on the Minecraft marketplace have firearms. The Mineplex even shows up as a recommended server on Bedrock. So they ask, is it unfair to start by targeting us first? They add games like Fortnite and Roblox that are widely considered as okay for kids are even more explicit. Have more explicit weapons, which is absolutely true, compared to what they said is their blocky, pixelated gun models, which is true. This is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. And so they said that they got their response and reply, this response from Mojang. They said, we understand your frustration and disappointment from this new directive. You know, despite this, the recent directive is one that, you know, our leadership team must enforce. You know, it's purely for guns and firearms. But they make a good point, though. What about Fortnite? They literally sell fake, like, toy guns at like, Walmart and that based on Fortnite. You can get them off Amazon. Hell, I have two water guns right now sitting on my patio that were from Fortnite. So they add, the Grand Theft Minecraft said, since their reply did not properly establish where they were trying to draw the line between what was being considered okay and not, we asked them if we could rebrand our guns as airsoft by adding orange tips. I love it. They said, no, to be fully compliant, you have to change the names. The server must change the names of the firearms. You can't have sniper rifle or anything, blah, 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 that you can't have real life guns. So they said, so what they're going to do is they're basically going to like make them look fruity and put orange chips on them and then call them something different. This is the dumbest, which is totally like gun control. I cannot even believe. Mojang, you guys are clowns. You guys are absolute Xi Jinping loving clowns. I hate all of you. This is so stupid. This is so dumb. And you're making these people that have operated the server totally, I mean, you know what? You've seen more violence from trans activists than you have from, you know, the Grand Theft Minecraft people. Jiminy Christmas. Oh, but you can't talk about that, though, because they've turned that person into like their Joan of Arc.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A man in South Carolina is accused of robbing a store with a Nintendo Duck Hunt pistol, say deputies. David D'Alessandro, 25, was arrested following the reported incident at a Quick Stop convenience store in Sharon, 45 miles southwest of Charlotte. He is accused of walking into the store about 5:45 p.m. Tuesday wearing a mask, wig, hoodie, and carrying the spray-painted... Okay, so this is what Kane and I were talking about. Spray-painted Nintendo game pistol. Because no one looks at it and is like, oh, that's real. But he spray-painted it black. I still would have looked at the paint job and been like, that looks sus. I would have looked at the paint job and literally everything else on this gun and been like, that's sus. Roughly $300 was taken from the register. He was located in a Dollar General down the street with the Duck Hunt pistol in his pants. He was booked at York County Detention Center. I am made of questions right now. Really am. This is crazy. A 65-year-old New Yorker was charged for shooting a would-be mugger who rushed him despite the guy saying, I'm armed, stay away. It's a 65-year-old man, because you're not allowed to defend yourself in New York. Charles Foner, he was charged with second-degree criminal possession of a weapon and criminal possession of a firearm after he voluntarily turned himself in. And the crazy thing is that there's CCTV footage. This guy who had a knife, trying to rush him. In Kew Gardens. 32-year-old Cody Gonzalez was confronted the 65-year-old. WPX reports that Gonzalez had a crazy long record, extensive record, all kinds of arrests. And Foner, though, he had a knife, but he didn't have it in his hand. He had a pen in his hand. And Foner thought it was a knife because the guy was like threatening him and making very aggressive gestures. And as he rushed him, that's when Foner drew his pistol and shot him. Now he's getting charged because he defended himself against a criminal. Unreal. A guy was like threatening him. And like, you know, an Arby's freezer manager was found dead in the walk-in freezer. Couldn't escape due to a broken door. There's a lawsuit. Stick with us. We got more in store.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
As I said, our immigrant and our first generation immigrant from immigrant parents who are benefiting from the blood, sweat, and tears of my ancestors who were enslaved, tortured, and promised reparations that were never received. Yet I am here to share our suffrage and my tax dollars to support those immigrants that are in need. $51 million is a lot of money. We need to match $51 million for our youth to have year-round jobs, and they don't need to go, so they will not end up in jail. Thank you.
Some Chicago residents are upset over city officials because of the funding and all of the accommodations that the city has been giving to people who enter the country illegally. As you just heard, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. I read, I had one story, let me pull this up here, that goes into that, where it had a number of, like they were they're spending quite a bit on housing, illegal entrants and different hotels and et cetera, and Chicago's one of those cities. People are wondering, wait, what? Why is this all happening the way that it is? Where's our... Wait, we're not even getting the return on the investment of our tax dollars and you're doing this? Makes sense. Speaking of Law and Order, this story is something you're probably going to start hearing more about. It's really started to circulate just a little bit earlier today. An Oklahoma school, and this is by a couple of different websites that I'm pulling this together, and some Twitter, because it first started going on Twitter, and the site called Reduck. But an Oklahoma school is being sued by the mother of a young girl who was physically assaulted by a male student who identifies as female in the girl's bathroom. Teresa Gooden filed the lawsuit on May 25th in the Oklahoma County District Court on behalf of her 15-year-old daughter who was attacked and severely beaten by a 17-year-old male student who identifies as female in the girl's bathroom. Now, the incident referenced in the suit is known to have taken place on October 26th at Edmond Memorial High School. The school district was aware that the transgender student, who is male but identifies as female, used the restroom reserved for girls in contravention of state law. Now, there's a police report that has been published associated with that assault. And according to the police report, on October 26th, it was about 8 a.m., an officer responded to reports of a fight that had broken out at the Memorial High School. And upon arriving, the officer found a female student with injuries to her face, visible injuries. He could see that she'd been beaten up, face and head. The officer noted the first victim, who was 15, had several red areas on her face. Both of her eyes were swelling. An interview was conducted with the victim. Her full name was redacted due to her age. And they said that, again, this was at the Edmond Memorial High School. So the female student told the officer, according to this story, that it was a 17-year-old male who identifies as a female who approached her in the girl's bathroom. She was talking with her friends. She explained, as she told police, that he had tried to talk to her. She ignored him. And then he got angry and asked if she wanted to fight him and rolled up, put his hands into fists. The victim said that the student then hit her in the face, and she said she was not strong enough to fight back and that the force of the blow was strong. And then the male student, who identifies as female, pulled the girl's hair, forced her to the ground, kicked her in the face, punched her repeatedly. They said that one witness to the incident described the attack as entirely disproportionate and that the girl was, quote, knocked out clean on the floor. This is the reading from the police report. And it said that her friends were yelling for this guy to stop hitting her. And they said that the male student balled up his fist. He stepped up to her and hit her in the face and hit her a few times. She tried to fight back but couldn't because he was hitting her so hard. Pulled her hair. She went to the ground. And he hit her in the face with his fist a few times and then kicked her in the face several times. Her friends were yelling at him to stop, trying to get him to stop, but he kept hitting her. That's from the police report. And the victim's friends, they were begging him, trying to get... But they're younger girls, and he's a 17 going on 18-year-old boy. And one of the other female students, one of her friends, tried to get him to physically stop, and he turned and punched her in the face. And the girl told police, the friend who intervened said she felt that she had to stop because she thought her friend's life was genuinely at risk. So her eyes were swelled up. She had a concussion. She was... I mean, all kinds of stuff. Blurred vision. She was sick. I mean, she had a head injury. The police report from this story that we're reading about this Oklahoma school where a mother has filed suit on behalf of her 15-year-old daughter who was beaten up in the girls' bathroom by a 17-year-old male student who identifies as female. The male student gave a statement apparently to police indicating he had initiated conversation because he was trying to pay her back for clothes he had stolen from her. So the male student, the transgender male student who identifies as female, has been removed from school by police. He was making threats against the victim. So just days prior to this, he had already been removed from school by police because he was making threats against the victim. And the law, Oklahoma law, says students at public schools have to use the facilities that correspond to their biological sex, not just declare gender identity. So the, and look, they're looking at compensation because she literally had a head injury. The lawsuit accuses the school of negligent failure to protect the female students. The Edmond Public Schools Superintendent Angela Grunewald addressed the assault. This was a YouTube video that was posted in December, but they unlisted it. So the only way you can get it is if you have the link. You can't like look for it and find it. And the male student, yeah, they had just begun attending the school a few days before. So this male student starts at the school, already threatening the girls. Police come, remove him from the school. He's allowed back. And then he goes and beats up a female in the bathroom because he's allowed to go because he says he's a woman. So I can't, this is going to be wild. This story. This is the stuff we're talking about. How many stories like this do we have to have? This is like the fourth or fifth one because there were the two in Virginia. And that was the same student because they tried to hide it. So they just shuffled him off to another school where he sexually assaulted a girl in the bathroom after he raped a girl in the one bathroom. And then the dad shows up and the police arrest the dad. This is exactly what we're talking about. This is why women get so mad. Because the men, if they want to identify as women and they say they're uncomfortable using the men's bathroom, what about the women who are uncomfortable with the man using their bathroom? That comfort's being, they're told they're bigots. You got to get over your comfort. Your comfort is meaningless. This man is a protected class. You don't get to say anything, you bigot. They act like somehow merely possessing a vagina is somehow more powerful than him going through puberty as a man, muscle mass as a man, bone density as a man, being older and bigger than you. All the girls put in this police report, when they gave their statement, they said that he just overpowered her. Well, duh. He's a damn dude. Of course he is. There are absolute differences. We're going back to the medieval days of witch doctors and using leeches to bleed out evil spirits by believing in this absolute sexist nonsense. I am so damn done with pride. Pride's a sin. It is a sin. This is God's promise month. I'm tired of seeing everything everywhere, and I'm tired of not enough people speaking up. You have a whole activist trans community that demand that all the gays white knight for them to cover what they're doing. We had, just a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, a violent trans activist goes and shoots up a school, targets a school because of their faith. And they turned this woman who wanted to be a man into Joan of Arc. That's the left's new Joan of Arc. Notice how quickly that went out of the news. And then you have DHS coming out saying, oh, well, you know, it's the alphabet people that are the ones that, you know, we have to really watch threats to them. The person who shot up Pulse nightclub was a terrorist who had affiliations with ISIS that our media tried to cover up because they thought it would be better for them to hide the actual radical threat that presented, and so that they could try to hang it on like some sort of, you know, people having problems with alphabet people. It's so stupid. How often is this going to happen? How many girls have to be attacked in the bathroom? How many girls got to be raped by dudes in the bathroom who want to identify as men or beaten because they want to identify as men? I mean, this is one of the things that angers me with the Nashville story so badly is there were a lot of people who were terrified to talk about it like it needed to be talked about. That was a trans terrorist. I don't want people trying to very, you know, oh, well, let's not, you know, with the whole, I'm tired of it. You have some, you have a person who is a prohibited possessor who goes out and violates every federal law about taking a school on, taking a gun on school grounds and everything else. And they commit an atrocity and every gun owner is impugned. Every law abiding gun owner, clean record, is impugned. But oh my gosh, you have a trans terrorist that goes in and shoots up a school too close to Pride Month. Can't talk about it. They're trying to get their colors on that flag too. And everybody has to tiptoe and not walk around it and not talk about it? No, I ain't doing this. At the expense of what? I'm tired of it. Where's the DHS file looking at violent trans activism? Have you seen what's been happening to women in other countries? Have you seen what's been happening in the UK? Oh my gosh, they threatened to behead the lady who wrote Harry Potter, and she's not even a conservative. She just merely said women exist. Asinine. Yeah, I'm done with Pride. I'm done with the whole Pride Month. Pride's a sin. No one cares how you want to have sex with people. Stop trying to shove it down everyone's throats and demand everybody come into your bedroom and applaud while you engage in your act. Because when I was growing up, it was always private, behind closed doors, stay out of other people's business. That's what we were told literally all throughout the 90s. Now it's you have to bend over backwards to affirm how someone else either perceives themselves or to justify how they live their life. You don't owe anyone a damn thing. You don't owe anyone your approval. You don't owe anyone anything. You still, this is America, we have free association. You cannot be compelled to accept or to associate or to do whatever you want to do. I'm so done with this. And I'm done with all these companies and the rainbow marketing and everything else. It is so just absolutely cringe. And all the people who eat it up. I saw mouthwash that had rainbow marketing. Mouthwash. You have to have your mouthwash sit here and tell you that you like to be with dude. If you're a dude, you like to be with other dudes. I need to have my mouthwash reflect that and affirm that. You may be nuts, pun intended, if you have to have every damn product you use in your bathroom reflect your sex life. I'm so tired of it.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
So Kane put in Slack this video of Joe Biden apparently falling down on stage. I mean, I think it's sad.
It is sad.
That someone's going to be like, it's just a stutter. Don't make fun of him. No, but that's not what anybody's doing. It was a huge fall. He's at the U.S. Air Force Academy graduation, and he's handing out diplomas, and which I think is nice to do. But then he turns and it's a flat stage. It's a flat stage, guys. And he falls. I'm trying to look and see, is there anything he tripped on? I mean, I literally see nothing.
A wire, maybe?
It's not anywhere near him, though. I don't get it. I told you at the State of the Union, I was literally sitting at his 9 o'clock, and I could see everything. And he had to lean. He was leaning on the podium, not in a way that some people do. You know, like casually when they're speaking, if they're up there giving a long, you know, speech and they're leaning on the podium. I mean, there's a difference. I'm not going to be, you know, stupid and petty about it. But it was not like a guy. It was not like that. It was not like that. And he was really slow in moving down the aisle into the chamber when he got there, even more so than normal, like when people are shaking your hands and all of that. It was just odd. And I mean, everybody knows he doesn't sound the same. He doesn't talk like he used to talk. He doesn't move. He does not move like a fit person, like a person who is healthy and has control of everything. I'm not making fun of the guy. I think it's sad they put him in this position and he's up on a world stage like this. I mean, imagine being his age and you're, you know, deteriorating in front of the world like this. And it's kind of like almost an avatar of, you know, American power. It's sad. It's awful. Today in stupidity.
Well, it happens to be our president. He was at the Air Force Academy graduates today talking about the Quad, the organization between Australia, India, Japan, and the United States. Claims that it didn't exist before he came to office, but that's not true.
We've elevated the Quad, bringing together Australia, India, Japan, and the United States to advance an Indo-Pacific that's free and open, prosperous and secure. Didn't exist before.
But it did. In 2017, actually, Trump.
Oh, my gosh. Like, yeah, so, how would you not know that?
Yeah. What's going on with this guy?
All right. Tomorrow's Friday, guys. We're going to lighten it up a little bit tomorrow because it's been you guys have been stressed this week. Come on, let's be real. So make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse over at Substack. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. I'll be back with y'all tomorrow.